Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. Studio A this week. I hope you guys had a blessed week. Thank you guys for tuning in yesterday on our show on KTW, for those that you were able to. And please accept my humble apologies for last week's non-episode. It was supposed to be 1806 last weekend, and we had a windstorm. It was strange. The power flickered a couple times here at the Redoubt Ranch, but it was, the internet kept going in and out. And, so my goal was to just keep trying to piece it together and, you know, hopefully get it uploaded that night, even though we missed the live broadcast period. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll do it the next morning. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all just exploded with stuff going on, activities, and I just kept getting pushed back further and further. And then I got that bug that's going around, kind of hammered me on Wednesday. Now I feel great, felt great on Thursday. Yesterday afternoon, a delegation of us from the 51st State Liberty State Committee went to Okanagan in central Washington and gave a presentation to a great group of folks there, citizens, patriots, that are very excited about Liberty State. And we're excited about that, too. I want to let you know that also you can go check out that presentation on video. It's on YouTube now. And I was struggling to get that video edited, and that was a high priority. Representative Matt Shea asked if I could please try to get that put together expeditiously, and so that kind of took some priority over some other things I was hoping to work on, and I'm glad I did. It turned out really good, and it looks good. So that video on the presentation on Liberty State is now posted. If you go to libertystate.org, the effort to form a 51st state, libertystate.org, that video is posted and embedded over there. And when you go to YouTube, watch it on YouTube. And if you would, subscribe to that YouTube channel, so when we post subsequent video content over there, you guys will get alerted to that. And give us a thumbs up and like it if you like that video. You guys have heard the audio of that presentation and a couple others, like Mark Herr and the sheriff candidate over there in Stevens County. All that stuff's been added as well. Lady Liberty's interview with the folks from the state of Jefferson, we're going to be talking to them more. Lots of really good stuff coming, and so we're excited. You guys have kind of gotten sneak peeks because I've aired that stuff for you here on Radio Free Redoubt, but just the audio. Of course, Radio Free Redoubt Radio, hence audio. Well, the video is posted over there. So, also help to spread the word to your friends about Radio Free Redoubt. I'm really excited about the coming back of Radio Free Redoubt, and especially Amron. I've been really counseling with some great folks, very dear friends who have been extremely supportive through this whole thing over the last 6 months. This kind of a little shakeup with Radio Free Redoubt and the Redoubt Ranch and things surrounding that. So anyway, it's really good, and it's good to be on the road to recovery, but it is a process. And so lots of good things are coming. So please spread the word about Radio Free Redoubt to your friends, and also let them know for some of those in very remote or rural areas, or some reason they have maybe limited bandwidth on their internet, and it's metered. They can only use so much data per month. Well, you can call in now and listen to Radio Free Redoubt anytime we are live streaming, like tonight. And that number is 857, that's the area code, 857-757-1085. And that's also been added to our listen page. You click on the listen button on the website at radiofreeredoubt.com. And that, and of course, all the other ways that you can listen are listed there if you didn't get that number written down. Check us out at radiofreeredoubt.com. All right, let's get down to the news and commentary. The news is brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series. Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series can be found at 299days.com, with all 10 books, and the audio books are out now. I just want to roll real quickly through a couple of news items that I had lined up to talk about last week. From Zero Hedge, the UK police are testing 250 handheld devices which can fingerprint unknown persons and compare them to a database of 12 million records in under a minute, instead of, I guess, an hour is what they had before. Assuming the initial test goes off without a hitch in West Yorkshire, these devices will be rolled out across the country by the UK's Home Office, which is their equivalent of Homeland Security. Now, they're saying this is going to help them identify migrants under a minute. But I assure you, this will be used for anybody that they encounter. Big Brother is here. I mean, they're perpetuating. This is unbelievable. The facial recognition and fingerprint software, all of this stuff is coming. Of course, they're saying it's to protect, you know, it's to identify migrants. Oh, well, definitely. Migrants are a problem in this country, so we definitely need to be able to quickly identify them. Well, these guys are talking out of both sides of their mouth, because they're the ones, the government of the UK, are the ones that are facilitating bringing in this flood of refugees. And now they're saying, oh, now we need this technology so we can quickly identify anybody on the street. It's about migrants, as if they care about the migrant problem and the impetus for being able to track you and identify you on the street instantly is because of the migrant problem, the problem that they caused. That's the Hegelian dialectic. It's where they create the problem and then they create the solution that robs you of liberty and freedom. And say, well, it's because of this problem. We're going to get to the bottom of this and look out for you. And look at all that you have to do is just give up some privacy, give up some rights. And we're going to make you safer. Well, it would have been safer if they would have been meddling in the first place, like trying to bring in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of refugees into your country, permanently altering your demographics and your culture. Oh, there's another one too. I don't have it. You know what? I do have it right in front of me. Pamela Geller. This wasn't in my list, but since I still have it open, I wanted to bring this up because this falls right in line with this. And it is, there we go. Pamela Geller has a story here. A pro-refugee left-wing German activist. This is in Germany now, taking you to another story. I'm going to pull this into my notes. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but it ties in. Now, this is somebody who was a pro-refugee, left-wing German activist, saying those people who ate with me, drank, danced, laughed, they, the refugees, talk about me as a stupid German whore. I can say that on a podcast. I don't think I can say that on the air on KTW. But that's a quote. Literally calling her a stupid German whore. And this left-wing pro-refugee activist had an epiphany. And she testifies as to the true danger that these refugees are posing in Germany. But there's one thing that here jumped out at me. I'll post this article. Very fascinating. It's an eye-opener. She says, I'm afraid that in the next election, in 4 years, we can see a new phenomenon. Muslims will establish their party, their political party, and because they already have a large electorate, they will become unstoppable. With the help of the left wing and almost all parties, they will begin to change the rules, and we will be the ones who will have to adapt. You getting that? They will have the numbers. Europe is fallen. It's over for them. Except for the holdouts, the bastions, the redoubts, like Hungary. God bless them. By their constitution, they are the only Christian nation in Europe, left in Europe. But Hungary, the Czech Republic, Poland, those guys are holding. And now Austria, they're drawing a line in the sand saying, we're done with this charade, this game, this refugee helping the poor people game. And they are recognizing this as an invasion, as they should. Good on them. So here's testimony right here from otherwise or formerly pro-refugee workers, leftists, that are saying, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. I've interacted, I've mingled with these people, and they are clearly our invaders. So unfortunately, people do wake up to this, but only afterward when it's too late. Isn't that sad? This school shooting, I'm going to talk a little bit about this, a little bit more about the school shootings in general in the next segment. But I want to wrap up here with one story from the Redoubt News, from the American Redoubt. Redoubt News doing a great job. Check them out. Subscribe to them. Support them. RedoubtNews.com doing such a wonderful job on all of their coverage, tirelessly working to keep us informed on stuff that stories that the traditional, if you want to call them that, media aren't covering or refuse to cover. But here's a great one. The Stand Your Ground section of House Bill 444 states that one has the right to use deadly force and not retreat if you are not the aggressor and you feel like it's your life is in jeopardy. House Bill 444 in Idaho provides that one can use deadly force to defend their life in their home, their yard, their place of business, or any place where they have a legal right to be. Also included is the presumption of innocence when deadly force has been used. That means you're innocent until you're proven guilty. Now, currently, the laws state that the criminal who broke into your home is the victim until you can prove you needed to shoot in self-defense. So additionally, House Bill 444 includes criminal immunity, which says that if you are charged and tried for your justifiable homicide and you are found not guilty by reason of self-defense, you are entitled to have reasonable court costs reimbursed. So anyway, so making some progress there on the Castle Doctrine in Idaho. Read more about that at RedoubtNews.com. We'll be back with segment two in just a moment. Don't go away. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
The world is caught in an era of socialist expansion. Most of the nations are affected. And America is a target. In fact, the number one target of both the socialist and the communist. If we permit our great system to crumble through the apathy of our citizenship, we shall lose not only our freedom, but our prosperity and our still brighter future. Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
It's segment two. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks just like you get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho. So check them out, selkirkmountainrealestate.com. And also, when you get the chance, while you're surfing around on the internet, go and check out libertystate.org, libertystate.org. The t-shirts are out now, and what else? The GoFundMe is working really well. Folks are donating to help the cause. T-shirts and sweatshirts are available now, and bumper stickers over there at Liberty State. Especially, oh, and the, of course, the flags. Beautiful. I got one hanging on my wall. 3x5, full-blown, approved by the citizens, Liberty State flag. And you can get yours. We need to see these flying all across Washington State, and bumper stickers on your cars if you're in Washington State or the surrounding states. Show your support for the folks that are trying to break the chains of tyranny. Okay, now, yesterday I covered a story, which, of course, we all suspected as being another Bravo Sierra story. But it was listed by Blacklisted News. And they quoted, I mentioned this on yesterday's show. They're saying that there's an average of every 2.5 days there's a school shooting. There's been 18 school shootings just since 2008. Now, those figures about having 18 school shootings did come, and I mentioned this. This comes from a biased anti-gun organization called Every Town for Gun Safety, citing their data. What a big problem this is, 18 school shootings. But it comes out, as it turns out, they got corrected really quickly. And this is really interesting how they got corrected. And they got called out on their Bravo Sierra stats in an article by in USA Today, of all places. USA Today allowed a column calling for this Every Town for Gun Safety to get their numbers straight. The real number, as it turns out, is only 6. But hold on a minute. It hasn't been 18. It's only been 6. So these guys are liars, and they're just trying to paint guns in a bad light. Well, this isn't about guns. This is a spiritual sickness in our culture, because 6 shootings in our schools is unacceptable. It's horrible. It's tragic that we've had 6 shootings in our schools, in our public schools. There is a really good article. Actually, there's a couple articles, and I will link this too, to USA Today. No, there have not been 18 school shootings already this year. And they're saying this is just amping up fears to create anti-gun hysteria, which is, of course, that's all true. But the real number is 6. But 6 is unacceptable. So what do we do about it? Well, there's a really great article over here at dryfiretrainingcards.com that I'll also link to you. Countering the myths of gun violence. And, of course, it talks about the survivability of gun wounds, and talks about the facts behind school shootings. Like many of these 18 shootings that were reported by Every Town for Gun Safety, many of those had nothing to do with, one, a kid reaches in and pulls the trigger of a police officer's gun in its holster. Another one, two of them were suicides that just happened to happen on school grounds. Some suicidal person pulls into a school parking lot. One of them, in fact, the school had been closed for months, some old dilapidated school. It's been closed down. Some suicidal person pulls into the parking lot and calls the police and says, "I'm suicidal," and then he goes and carries through with it. Well, people like Every Town for Gun Safety list that as a school shooting. So these guys are obviously a bias. They just destroyed any kind of credibility that they may have hoped to have established in the public's eye. So the reality is that there were 6 shootings since the first of the year, and 6 shootings is still way too many. But there's a whole article on well, there's several articles coming out addressing this, the lies in the stats that they're putting forward as they push for removing firearms. It's not going to happen anytime soon. But this next generation that's coming up, the ones that are in school, junior high and high school now, that will be voting here over the next few years to 5 to 10 years that are coming up, they're going to there are products of our public education and are the persistent, pervasive propaganda that they've been hammered with, that many of you have paid for your children to be indoctrinated by communist, leftist, globalist, anti-God propaganda and indoctrination. I know many of you in this listening audience, you're homeschooling, you are private schooling, you are trying to counter school. Your kids do. You, for some reason or another, you cannot put your kids in you cannot homeschool them. You cannot put them in private schools. And you are working tirelessly to undo the social engineering that's taking place. You know, but it still has an effect. It's very, very difficult to overcome as long as they're in that environment. But did you know that outside of a war zone where we were fighting, I'm reading this from Dry Fire Training Cards. Did you know that outside of a war zone where we're fighting, the U.S. has some of the best, if not the best, gunshot trauma care in the world? Nationwide, here's the stats. You've got a 90% chance of surviving a single gunshot wound if you receive prompt advanced medical care. You've got a 90% chance of surviving if you see an ambulance, if you see ambulance personnel with your own eyes. They've done the stats on people who have been shot and survived, and or who hasn't. You've got a 95% chance of surviving if you have a heartbeat when you reach the hospital. Amazing. And of course, handgun wounds are extremely survivable. The fact that 17 people died in Parkland tells me, this is the author speaking, that it's highly likely that the people who interacted with the killer didn't have the tools, mental or physical, to stop the killer. He had time to reload and take multiple shots per victim. There were heroes who did what they could to help kids and save lives. But the best way to do that when you've got a murderer on the loose is to have the tools to stop the murderer. Now, they did add a update. You've got to train your kids. I've talked about this in the past, and I've done this with my kids. Is if you find yourself in an active shooter situation, what to do? This is a good article here that you might want to read, and then go over some of the stuff with your kids. DryFireTrainingCards.com. We'll post this in the highlights and resources posting. But they added an update to this. Talking about taking action and thinking under fire. During this situation, the shooting situation in Florida, the update is that this these tools, mental and physical, include members of the JROTC who secured students, barricaded a door, and waited in ambush position for the shooter. Good on them. They were ready to meet force with force. But the killer did not go into their room, unfortunately. And I remember reading also that afterward, one of the kids was that was a student there was going to the bathroom. He was in the hallway and he sees the shooter, this communist revolutionary murderer, loading his AR-15 in the hallway. And they look at each other, and the kid, before he began his shooting spree, told the kid that was going to the bathroom, "You better get out of here. Things are going to get messy." And so the kid turned and ran. That would have been the time to start screaming and take the kid down while he's in the middle of trying to get his stuff out of his bag and load up an AR-15 to attack and start screaming and pull the fire alarm or what. Well, actually, I think the shooter ended up pulling the fire alarm. But amazing, isn't it? There was a perfect opportunity to save lives. Now, look, the kid's not trained. He's going to the bathroom. He encounters this. He just goes into fight or flight mode, right? But that is something that he will have to live with for the rest of his life. That will haunt him for the rest of his life, knowing that he turned and ran instead of screaming and yelling and attacking and taking the shooter down. Choices we make. Donald Rumsfeld said that you go to war with the army you have and not the army you wish you had. Isn't that the truth? It's the same if you find yourself in the middle of a mass murder situation. You can't manufacture the skills to stop the threat in the heat of the moment if you don't already have them, the skills. That's sad. And we can't do anything about what happened in Parkland, but we can each make a decision to make forward progress at being prepared if we find ourselves in a similar situation. Now, there are cases that we've seen where school shootings took place where other students did take the shooter down. They're heroes. We can't forget about them. There's been several instances. I've mentioned them in our news and commentary where some kid on the football team comes around the corner and he's got a beautiful angle, a blue oblique angle at the shooter, and he just takes him down and busts their spine in the process. And good on them. They're heroes. Put the guy in a wrestling, you know, headlock and then disarm him. So those cases do happen, but man, so often they cower and they just beg for their lives and then they get shot. You know, they fight. They can't go for flight, so they freeze when they should be fighting. So this is something that we as parents have to talk about, you know, our kids on an individual basis. Six shootings across America is tragic. One of those shootings directly impacted one of our Ameron Corps operators a couple of weeks ago. Not directly, but one of our Ameron Corps operators' children go to a school where an active shooter situation took place. And there were, I think, four or six shot and four deaths. I'd have to look at again, but sad. So now they want to come after our guns, and they want to create gun-free zones with signs. They're going to protect your children with signs. How's that working out? It's not. Now, there are solutions. Of course, what they should do to this kid, they should just string him up. He already confessed. He's guilty. Now send him to sentencing. Hang him in the public square. Put it on. Remove his name. Strike his name from ever existing. He's now Communist Revolutionary Murderer number 318, as we're going to call him. But that might send a message to some. Really, I believe that the root of this is spiritual. As a Christian, I believe that these are spiritual consequences, sickness and demonic activities, very clearly to me, in my mind, this is very evidently demonic activity. And we really started to deteriorate once we removed prayer from our schools. And we refuse, they're looking for solutions. The only solution, the one solution that would truly, in the middle of this quest for solutions, the one solution they absolutely refuse, they reject. And that would be a total spiritual transformation of our country. But that's not happening. That's not the reality of it. Now, the reality of it is something that we need to face. There are evil people. There are jihadis. And there are communist revolutionaries. And there are just emotionally disturbed, demonically influenced people that want to hurt others by killing their children and inflicting as much pain and suffering as possible. They're sick down at the deepest levels. But Israel has been faced with this for a long time, and they've accepted the reality of what the world is that they're living in. Now, when the Israel school system, their teachers take the kids for a field trip, for example, or at the schools, they have armed security at the schools with oftentimes automatic weapons. Prepared to defend the kids. These people are vetted and they're trained. And I was speaking to my dad. We're talking about a solution. What would be the solution for America for the day that we're living in? I was just talking to him today. And we're in agreement. We need to start, first of all, accept. We don't want to accept because we don't want to turn our schools into prisons. We don't want to have armed security escorting our children and have lockdown and metal detectors and things like that, because then we would be admitting we have a problem. Well, guess what? We have a problem. The measures that we take to stop shootings at courthouses or other places have come to pretty much a screeching halt. Why? Because they control access, physical control access, where there's only one or maybe two ways in and out of a court building, and there's a armed security personnel on site controlling access, and they have a metal detector and bulletproof glass and everything else at the entrance. That is the reality of the world that in our justice system that they face, the angry ex-spouse or somebody's been wronged or whatever, and they want to show up at the courthouse and they want to shoot people up. They want to shoot the attorney. They want to shoot the judge. Well, they pretty much brought that all to a stop. Now you got to try to find the individual outside of that perimeter, of that security perimeter, such as at their home or place of work or going in and out of that secure facility. So if we really want to, we could bring school shootings to a screeching halt by this coming year. And that is build physical protection around our schools in the form of fencing. Fencing, control points, controlled access for everyone. And security personnel maintaining those access points, and including metal detectors on all of our schools. I love living in America. I mean, Mayberry, free America. Unlike the inner cities, where you can walk onto a school ground and you can take your kid and go play on the swing on the weekend because school's closed, and it's just wide open. You can walk around and look in the windows of the school, and it's just nice and open. It's no fences, no gates, no barricades. It doesn't look like a prison. It just looks like a community, a school in your community where your children are educated. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it looks in much of America. But that openness, that easy access, that was yesterday's America. We've created the environment. Now we've made it so easy so somebody can go undetected, walk right into any one of multiple entrances into a school, and begin killing our children. Physical access, physical control points, metal detectors. And here's the one thing that this society would refuse to accept. And that is, well, unless it's police officers. But we have the talent, the training, and the personnel out there. I believe that you would be able to find the personnel to step up, that you could have vetted, trained, volunteer security personnel, just like you got the parents out there at the crosswalks, and they're out there in their personal cars and their little green vests with their stop sign, with the little flashing stop sign, to escort kids across the street every single day. And they got a pool of volunteer parents that go out there to help keep the kids safe so that they can use the crosswalk. It's no different with security personnel. We've got the talent, we've got the training, and I believe there would be a willingness of those in our community to step forward to be on an armed security team. But that, I guarantee, is something that maybe notwithstanding a few small communities, like we've seen arming their teachers, outside of that, by and large, it would be scoffed at, it would be mocked, it would be largely rejected. But you would never know how many lives would be saved if you did that. If you did these steps that I just outlined, you would bring it to a screeching halt. And untold hundreds of or thousands of our children would be saved. But it's kind of hard to really get caught up on that. It's sad. It's tragic. 17 were lost. But that many are lost in an hour by the abortions that we fund with our tax dollars that we allow to continue. So it's kind of hard to talk about saving lives when it's easy, actually, because you get the pictures of these young, vibrant people and their teachers posted on the internet now that won't live another day. We don't get to see the lives of the babies that were ripped to pieces in their mother's wombs. The one place in the world a child should be safer than anywhere else. And we're killing them by the millions. And that won't go unpunished. I don't know. I think because of that, I think we're seeing the consequences of that in our culture. Anyway, I'm going to talk about toxic masculinity when we come back. Segment 3 is coming up. Don't go away.
Being a patriot isn't easy. It takes work. And I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom. Freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said we must. But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, "Remember freedom? Wasn't it nice?" I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Segment 3 is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Did you get that? StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Designs to help you keep you safe on your property and to help you thrive with planning on your property for food supply, energy production, security features built into your property strategically. And they'll help you do that. They also help with helping you to secure your water rights. This is critical. Water wars are here. There's people that have the testimonies that can tell you what's happening to them who have not secured their water rights. It's a battle. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. They can help you out with that and help you achieve a life of liberty. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago, talking about toxic masculinity. That's under attack right now. This is a term that's fairly new. It's a man acting like a man, being a man, looking like a man, having the thinking like a man. Well, it is under attack, and it's something that doesn't fit the agenda of this demasculated culture that we're living in. This is a really good article here talking about toxic masculinity at the National Review. Now, this guy's a senior writer for National Review, senior fellow at the National Review Institute, and he's an attorney. His name is David French, and he wrote a great article. And he starts off talking about, you know, being an NBA fan and the Oklahoma City Thunder, and something that the coach said. The coach told his players that they are playing in a man's gym, quote unquote. And they had to respond accordingly. Of course, you know, that makes people bristle. A man's gym. That's so misogynistic. But it was talking about men being aggressive, acting like men. Well, he writes this author writes this really great article. He says, as we ponder our enduring culture wars and the growing cultural and religious gap between left and right, we're all understanding that our American divide increasingly isn't over mere public policy issues. It's over the deepest and most profound questions in life. To take one example, thought leaders on the cultural left and the cultural right now can't even agree on the answer to one simple question. What is a man? Good point. A cultural conservative would respond with simple biology and build from there. A man is a person with a distinct chromosomal and physical makeup who, from birth, is typically distinctly different from women. Men are typically physically stronger than women. They aren't typically or they're typically more aggressive than women, and they typically have a different emotional response to events. That's what a cultural conservative would say. Thus, raising and training of a boy is typically a different task from the raising and training of a girl. The cultural conservative looks at the male child and says, I want to train him to take care of a family, to be a provider and a protector. I want to channel his strength and aggression into duty, courage, and honor. I want to channel his drive and energy into a lifelong quest for self-improvement and service. In other words, I don't want him to see his masculinity as a problem to be controlled, but rather a gift to be properly enjoyed. Amen. And I would say the women out there, the conservative women, are looking for that in a man. Now, I could just end right there. That happy point, because that's kind of where we all sit right now. But there's an adversarial, and I'm just use that word intentionally. There's an adversarial opposite side of defining what a man is. And this is what we're battling. This is where we come up. This is where terms like toxic masculinity even comes from, by acting like a man. Well, by boys acting like boys, they want to put them on Ritalin. They want to control that crazy boy behavior, right? But a cultural liberal, especially a secular cultural liberal, increasingly responds with a fundamentally different answer. A man is a person who believes that he's a man, believes that he's a man. His masculinity is unrelated to his biology and instead inextricably linked to his self-conception. Since both men and women can possess stereotypically masculine or feminine traits, the terms themselves have little meaning except as a means of understanding outdated and damaging gender stereotypes. This guy's good. He's got this nailed. To the extent that a man has any special responsibility is to combat toxic masculinity and to undermine male privilege. Masculinity, as traditionally understood, isn't a gift to be properly enjoyed, but rather a problem to be controlled. It is true. On the right, there is a renewed emphasis on cultivating traditional manliness. Jordan Peterson's popularity is a sign of the longing for understanding a distinctive male purpose and a male way of living that is true to biology and psychology. Where is this? There was something. Last week in The Intercept, writer Peter Mass took direct aim at the outdated model of masculinity. This is the thinking that we're up against. In the movie 12 Strong, this is what these guys, and I'm going to go see 12 Strong this week. I meant to this week, but it just, it didn't work out. And a lot of things didn't work out this week, but, so I'm going to be watching 12 Strong, and I'm looking forward to it. Why? Because it is like the epitome of manliness. Type of man, duty, honor, service, strength, endurance, right? Decisiveness. Well, this guy hates it. The Intercept. He quotes in this article, this great article, he's quoting a guy who's a writer at The Intercept. Talking about the movie 12 Strong, the movie tells the story of one of the first special forces teams inserted into Afghanistan after 9/11. It's a team that helped win a key battle and liberated a community from the ultimate form of toxic masculinity, Taliban tyranny. And yet, it's still problematic. So this is what this writer, the leftist writer, writes. The time has come for Hollywood to turn away from war movies that, while satisfying both a studio's bottom line and flag-waving concept of patriotism, perpetuate a model of masculinity that does violence to us all. We're all violated by this portrayal of real men fighting Taliban, right? What matters is that well into the second decade of our forever war, the combat movies that populate our multiplexes and our minds are devoted to a martial narrative of men as terminators that should have been strangled at its birth a long time ago. No, it's not about men as terminators. It's about men as protectors. And if we don't cultivate that virtue and advance that narrative, then who, pray tell, will protect our nation, our culture, and our civilization? I say it's men, real men. What is a man? It's a question they dare not ask. If asked, there is an answer they dare not give. That's how wide our divide has become. Well, real men and women who love real men. I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about that. The warrior class, the pagans among us, pagans and heathens. It's stealing and it's robbing the warriors from the ranks of our Christians. I'm going to talk about that briefly when we come back. Don't go away.
Now maybe I didn't mean to treat you bad, yeah, but I did anyway. Now maybe.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This is segment four, brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC. That's with a Z, W-E-R-K-Z, Works LLC. Go to works.com to find the inside or outside the waistband holster that's right for you. Works Holsters are made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Check them out today. And thank you all of those guys for helping, all of our sponsors for helping us cover the basic costs of producing a show, but the costs are, they continue to grow. So this is listener supported. If you find value in Radio Free Redoubt, please consider supporting us, just any amount, or setting up a PayPal, $10, $15, $20, $30, $50 a month, whatever it is a huge, huge help. And we're very grateful for all of you and your support, or just a one-time donation. We're grateful more than we can say. Okay, now I want to talk about this newly accepted warrior class, this pagan warrior class. I've seen discussions taking place online on the internet with guys who were raised as Christians that are, they're finding Christ uncool. It's just not as BA, you know? It's just, but the pagan Sons of Odin cool Valhalla stuff is just cool. But they're getting caught up in mythology and they're walking away from the faith. I'll tell you something. There is not another, pardon the expression, I don't mean to, I'm going to say it. There is not more of a badass warrior than Christ himself, the King of Kings, the warrior of warriors. And I'm proud to belong to him and to be in his army. I'm proud to be a warrior. There's nothing more manly than a godly man following Christ, the ultimate warrior who's going to return. This is not mythology. This isn't made up stuff. This is the real deal. He's going to be coming back on a horse and there's a showdown coming and you will have to be on one side of the fence or the other. You will not be able to ride the fence. And the time is coming very soon where you're going to have to choose sides. And I know which side I want to stand on. I know we win in the end. And he's going to come back with a flaming sword. And he's going to clean house. And there's going to be some ass kicking taking place, if I can use that term. And I want to be on his side. And this isn't some mythical thing. This is the real deal. And we're seeing warriors leave. And because it's not cool enough for them. And we're seeing a lot of this, the Sons of Odin, the Norwegian Viking warrior pagan religion. We're seeing the Germanic religions come back. Let me talk about that just briefly. Aspects of Germanic religion continue into Germanic Christianity and later folklore of the Germanic peoples. Shared components of the Germanic religion include common Germanic deities, shared elements of Germanic mythology, and aspects of ritual and material culture, like sacred trees and sacred groves and things like that. Now, although the term heathenry, these are heathens, is used widely to describe the religion as a whole, many groups prefer different forms of designation influenced by their regional focus and their ideological preferences. Heathens, focusing on Scandinavian sources, sometimes use asatru or venatru, or forn sed. Practitioners focusing on Anglo-Saxon traditions use Fernsidu or theodism. Germanic traditions are use Urminism, and those heathens who espouse folkish and extreme right perspectives tend to favor the terms Odinism, Wotanism, Wodanism, and Odalism. These terms become familiar with them. Now, what's interesting is some of these guys are a lot of these, especially Odinism, Wotanism, Wodanism, are really clinging to this. The skinheads and the left-wing racist groups are really like these heathenistic and paganistic religions, tough warrior class stuff. But it's interesting that we're seeing anti-Christian sentiment, very strong anti-Christian sentiment, creep into the ranks of the heathens and the pagans, which are springing to life today. It's just unbelievable in my mind watching this, especially when it's people who have left the faith for myth. There's definitely a spiritual veil over their eyes. So there's Norse mythology. That's my background. I'm Norwegian and I'm Scottish. They come from all of this paganistic background, but they came to America. They became Christians. So much of their lives have changed. But we're seeing this resurgence. I want to talk about what the Lord is. In Exodus 15, 3, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. In Isaiah 42, 13, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. And he will. Come on, guys. The stories are there for you to read. The history's been written down. Look what happens when they turn away from God. Look what happens when God is on your side. The Lord with me is with me like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not prevail. They'll utterly be ashamed because they have failed with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." And what about his followers? Remember when Abram heard that Lot was taken captive? He hunted the captors down. Who were they? Kings. He hunted down kings with their small armies. And he overtook him, and he took his son, his nephew, back. After Abram returned from defeating the king, and the kings allied with Kedorlaomer, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And then King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of God Most High. The priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram. Abram took his own personal army and hunted down the kings and their armies, defeating them, taking back his family, restoring them, defending the oppressed, standing up against the tyrant. That was a godly man. Joshua, Caleb, with the Israelites, wiping out thousands to take Israel back. In Joshua 5:13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And what's called a Christophany. And that is when this is Christ appearing before he came to earth as what we know as Christ. He made several appearances throughout the Old Testament. This is one of them. It's arguably Christ himself, holding a sword. He's a warrior. He said, I indeed come as the captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. Now, Joshua was a warrior. He was a hardcore warrior that was feared by multitudes because of what he was leading the Israelites in doing. And now here this hardened warrior, sold out to God, a man of men, falls on his face before the captain of the host of the Lord. That was Christ. And you want to walk away from him to follow some mythical made-up, heathenistic, paganistic religion, you know what the Word of God says is going to happen to you for doing that. Rethink the decisions that you're making. This is not games. King David killed tens of thousands. That was a godly man. I mean, he killed Goliath. He killed a bear. He killed a lion. These are manly men. These are real men. These are men who are fully immersed in toxic masculinity. I love it. Gideon took 300 men out against the Amalekites. And an angel went out. This is the God that we serve. This is not a paganistic, heathenistic, mythical God that doesn't exist. This is a God who took Gideon with 300 men, surrounded the camp of the enemy, and then stood back. You stand back and watch, Gideon. And God sent in one angel, killed 135,000 enemy. 101. Now, is that the army you want to belong to? An army that has angels with you? That one single angel can go into an encampment and take out 135,000 of your enemy? And then, of course, Gideon took the 300 men, the ones that were still surviving, the next morning. They took off after him. They slaughtered every one of them. Those were manly warrior men following a real God. We need real warrior men again. And don't fall for the lie. The lie that's been propagated by today's media and education institutions. The whole even the church itself has perpetuated this idea that Jesus is some wimpy little robe-wearing, sandal-wearing, quiet little soft-spoken wimp, hippie. That would make any real man, warrior, not really want to make that the guy that I follow. It is much cooler to follow sword-wielding gods of mythical religions. Because they're just cool. But they're not cool. It's deception. It's a lie. Man up, men. Don't walk away from the faith and don't fall for these lies and start falling for heathen and paganistic religions. Regroup. Regroup and come back to the faith where you know you belong. And follow a real warrior. You want to be a warrior? Follow a real warrior, the King of Kings. That's all I got to say on that. You guys have a blessed week. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.